Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. Along with Ross Tucker, I'm Jim Galante. It's quarter number two, which means it's time for Tucker's Tape. And Ross, we're going to talk today about one of my favorite topics, and I'm sure it's the same for you. We're going to talk about Penn Staters headed to the NFL drafts. Are you ready for that?
Heck yeah, man. I'm fired up for the NFL draft. I'll be doing a ton of stuff next week. I know a lot of people already know I've got a bunch of podcasts, NFL draft related. It's not all Penn State stuff, but you can check out the Ross Tucker podcast or any of those. And I'll actually be, Jim, in Philly at the NovaCare Complex Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I'll be there, and I'll be talking about every single pick the Eagles make. So it'd be kind of cool if they picked, one of the Penn Staters. We'll see.
It really would be. And I'm going off topic here for a second. You mentioned the Eagles. I'm also an Eagles fan. Real quick, what are the Eagles going to do at number 12? Are they going to trade back into the top 10? What are they going to do? Or what would you do if you were there?
I don't think that they will trade back into the top 10. I think they'll probably make a pick at 12, perhaps even trade down. I think they're going to get a chance to get one of the top two corners in the draft in Patrick Surtain or J.C. Horn. And I think they'll probably take that guy. Now, you know, maybe they would take a Mike Parsons. Maybe there's a guy like Quiddy Pay from Michigan or one of the receivers, maybe even one of the offensive linemen. But I tend to think corner, and I tend to think the Eagles stick and pick at 12.
As one of those typical fans, I want one of those high-end wide receivers, but probably the smarter thing is cornerback number one, second round, get your receiver, right?
Totally agree, and absolutely. If you look at, you know, recent years, since 2015, I think there's been 23 first-round wide receivers. Only two of them have actually made a Pro Bowl, Amari Cooper and Justin Jefferson. A lot of these good young receivers were second-round picks, DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin, A.J. Brown. So, and it's a deep draft for receivers again, and we've talked about that as it relates to Jahan Dotson. I think he made a smart decision, and I think that means the Eagles are better off getting a receiver in round two if they want to do that.
Okay, we could talk more Eagles off the air. Let's get back to Penn State. You already mentioned his name, Micah Parsons. That's where we have to start. He's at the top as far as Penn Staters go. But Ross, I've seen such a disparity in these mock drafts, all the way up in the top 10, back down in the 20s. What's going on with Micah Parsons?
Well, so I don't think that there's two things here, right? So he is an incredibly gifted, talented football player. I'm talking to Penn State fans right now. I think they all know that. They don't need to hear me say that. And I know we all wish he would have been able to play this past season, or he would have decided to play, I guess I should say. There's some school of thought that he's a little bit raw and in terms of his instincts and vision, I would suggest to you he's only played the position for 2 years in his whole life. I know when I got moved to offensive line at Princeton, that was an adjustment for me. You know, he got moved to linebacker. He only ever played D-end in high school. He only played it for 2 years. So I don't really have any issues with him as a player. There are character concerns. And what's interesting, Jim, is I've known of Micah since ninth grade. He went to Central Dauphin High School. I reside in Central Dauphin School District. I spoke with him before his junior year of high school once and said, hey, man, you got 5 years to do all the right things to change your life. He had some issues since then. He didn't do all the right things. I tweeted this recently. People should check it out, at Ross Tucker NFL. But Brian Linder from Penn Live did a nice job of a really thorough breakdown of Micah and his background. And, you know, he's had a couple things come up. I guess I would say to you, Jim, I don't really think they're that bad. You know, I mean, the Central Dolphin thing was a really unique situation. And again, I encourage people to read it. And then, you know, people are mad at him because he tweeted about the Ohio State quarterback situation. Who cares? By the way, that helped Penn State get him. I'm glad he did that. I'm glad he said JT Barrett should have been benched. What do I care? I mean, that's a character concern. He was a high school kid, like, you know, backing up his friend Dwayne Haskins. Give me a break. So anyway, and then there's the Humphreys thing at Penn State, which I think there's a lot. The jury's way out on what happened there. So I'll just say this. The people I've talked to at Penn State, Jim, they swear by him. His coaches from high school, both high schools, will say good things about him. So I think it's a little overblown, but the combination of him being an off-the-ball linebacker, which is not considered a premium position, and some of these quote-unquote character concerns, I think he probably ends up going between picks 15 and 25. I think he's probably not the top 10, top 15 pick that he would be otherwise.
Very good. You answered my next question of where you think he's going to go. Let's go another guy who has a lot of, well, let's just call him a little bit polarizing, is Jason Owe. He seems to be the ultimate potential versus performance guy. What do you think of Jason Owe? You saw every game last year. How serious an issue is that zero sacks statistic?
I think it's really overblown. I think he's probably the biggest sleeper in the draft. I would take him. I mean, the kid never played football until his junior year of high school. Okay? They just aren't making any more of him, Jim. He's 6'5", 257, and runs a 4.3, 6.40. They're not making any more guys like that. God doesn't make a lot of people like that. And it's not like he had no production. He had tackles for loss. He was in the backfield. He had sacks his other years. It's not like he's allergic to sacks. Penn State didn't have a lead very much. They were playing from behind. So, and by the way, how many games, what did he play? Seven games? And he played seven games, and Penn State lost the first five of them. So they didn't have a lead. You know, a lot of times you get sacks when you have a lead. I think he'll go late first round, maybe early second, Jim, but I think he is going to be a steal. I think the sky is the limit. People are forgetting he had five sacks the year before in spot duty. People are wrong about Jason Owe, and I think he had five sacks the year before in, you know, limited time behind Gross Matos and Shaka Tony. I think Owe is going to be the steal of the draft. You heard it here first on the Keystone Sports Network, Tucker's Tape. Save this tape, Jim. Save it. I want everybody to remember this.
I will save the quote. That was a bold prediction. We don't even have Andrew Pichet here, but that was your bold prediction. I'll also say this, Ross. I recently watched some tape of a couple games Penn State played last year because I have nothing better to do in my life. And to watch the game a little bit differently, he made one play where he ran the width of the field to track someone down and make the tackle. And all I could think was, if you're not running a 4.3 something type 40, you don't make that play. It was so impressive if you really realize where he was coming from. All right, let's hit a couple more guys real quick here, Ross. Pat Freiermuth, tight end. Penn State fans loved him. I know I did. He injured the shoulder, shortened his last season. How much of that effect does that injury have?
I don't know that the injury – I mean, look, it doesn't help, certainly, right? It doesn't help. But I don't know that the injury itself hurts him all that much. I think the issue with Freiermuth is I think that the perception is he is solid. You know, that he doesn't have special physical characteristics. And Perhaps that is because you're comparing him to a guy like Kyle Pitts, who's just a freak show, the likes of which we've never seen, right? I mean, that's kind of a different ball game when you look at Kyle Pitts. I think Freiermuth's another one. You know, maybe I'm just biased. Maybe I'm just biased for the Penn State guys. I don't know, Jim. I don't think I am. But I believe that he's going to be able to play at a really high level in the NFL. I think he's really solid all-around tight end. It sounds like he'll go in the second round, and I think that'd be great for him. I think he'll go somewhere. I think he ends up being a solid starting tight end in the NFL. He was really good right from the start for Penn State. Only played four games this past year, but there were people that thought he might be a first-round pick if he had entered the NFL draft last year, and he had 15 touchdowns his first 2 years. He's pretty darn good.
I was a really big fan of his. I just get the feeling he's the kind of guy, 10 years from now, he'll still be in the NFL. I just get the feeling he's that type. Ross, we don't hear a lot of talk about Shaka Toney. I think he's one of these guys who just seems to get forgotten.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a good point. Shaka Toney is another one. He kind of gets lost in the shuffle of some of the more physically gifted guys. And it doesn't help you really when you stay the whole time like he did at Penn State. You know, the elite edge rushers usually go earlier. I think Shaka has a pretty good chance. 20 sacks in his career. I think he's got a pretty good chance to be a guy that sticks in the NFL as a rotational defensive end. I picture him always being a fourth-round pick, always battling, you know, third to be the third, fourth, fifth defensive end on a roster.
All right, let's finish up. Michael Mennett, where do you think he's going to go? And is there any name that I missed that we should be aware of?
Well, I think Will Fries and Lamont Wade are both late-round picks / free agents, and they're going to have to really battle to make a team. The top five guys, I think, are all going to be on a team at least – are all going to get drafted and be on a team at least this year. Mennett, the issue is his arm length, and he's got some type of injury. He didn't compete at the pro day, so there's some issue there. But I think he's got a decent chance to be a starting center in the NFL. But I think the concern is – whether or not he could play another position and truly back up multiple spots.
Gotcha. That is it for quarter number two in Tucker's Tape. Stay tuned. Next segment, we take your questions in Ask Ross.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.